Praise God. Pick up your Bibles. Look with us tonight. Acts chapter number 3. Praise God. Acts chapter number 3. Verse number 19. Words of Peter speaking. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let's read it again. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Could we pray? I covet your prayers tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to touch us physically, spiritually tonight. Touch our mind, our soul, our body. Touch this congregation, Lord. Give them ears to hear. Lord, anoint us with your spirit. Give us words to speak. Though our body be lacking tonight, we pray, Lord, that the spirit, Lord, would be fluent, dear God. The hearts would be ministered to. People would be helped. Your name would be exalted and the church would be edified. And sinners be touched. In Jesus' name we pray and let the church say amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for your prayers. I ask you to continue praying tonight while we attempt to preach. The Lord being my helper, I'd like to preach on the thought tonight. There's a refreshing in his presence for you. There's a refreshing in his presence for you. The word refreshing, I'd like to maybe look at it in a natural sense here for a moment. When I think of the word refreshing, I think of something invigorating, something revitalizing, something stimulating. Like maybe an example is when I've been working outside in the yard, and we're far from removed from hot summer days, but they'll come. But when I've been working out in the yard on a hot summer day and my wife brings me a tall glass of cold water or iced tea to drink, now to me that's refreshing. That's refreshing. Or maybe after farming in a dusty field all day, my dad was somewhat of a farmer and I grew up on what you'd probably call it a baby farm. But we had cows and chickens and we raised garden and all of that. But there'd be times maybe be out in a dusty field all day. Nothing I like better, amen, than going in the house and getting in a good shower and get all cleaned up and get. It was refreshing. It was refreshing. Man, now if I'd have probably been one of the country boys down here, I'd been finding me a creek, a river, or a pond to jump into. But I remember being out some years ago in northwest Arkansas holding a revival when my boys were still at home. And they were teenagers then. But we were preaching in an area where there was a preacher by the name of Joe Bollinger. Does anybody happen to know him? He's a big old fella, tall guy, preacher. And he would preach at the drop of a hat and drop the hat so he could preach. Sometimes they wouldn't ask him to preach, and he'd preach in aisles. But really, he was a good man, and he loved the Lord. But Brother Joe lived on a farm, and he had a creek with a swimming hole not far from the house. And he invited us out as a family one day, so we went to the house and visited a little bit. And he said, let's go down to the creek, to the swimming hole. So he took myself and the boys down there, and we got down there. There's a big old tree right on the creek bank, and a big rope hanging out from way up high. And he said, you swing out on this rope, you get out over that swimming hole, and you let go. Which he said, here's how you do it. And here he was, a big old guy. He grabs that rope. I was looking for that treetop to snap. But he took off swinging out and swung over that hole of water and let go, and down he went. You'd have thought he was going 20 feet deep in the ground, but it didn't happen. He just hit the water, big splash, and then we followed in suit and had a great time. It was just refreshing. So Maybe by those examples you kind of catch my drift about being refreshed tonight. When I think of refreshing in a spiritual sense, I think of time of reviving, a time of restoring, a time of renewal. Like the times I've went to church or have came to church weary and worn from the stresses and the pressures of life, and I get in a good service. I love getting in a good service. Amen. I enjoyed that singing a while ago. I just could have heard some more. That had been fine with me. But I love it when the Lord moves in the singing or in the altar service or in the preaching. But I've got in a good service after being in the stresses and the pressures of life, and the presence of the Lord moves in the midst. You know how it is when He comes in. I mean, we do everything we can do, but when He comes in, amen, that refreshing comes from where? Scripture said from the presence of the Lord. Amen. We put forth our efforts, but it's Him that sends, amen, the refreshing, because His presence come. Amen. And when it would come in a service like that, I'd leave refreshed and revived and encouraged. There's been some times that maybe I was heavy laden with the cares of life, and I went to my prayer closet, my secret place to pray and seek the Lord, and I'd just pray, and I'd pray, and sometimes I could pray through in 10 minutes, and sometimes it'd take an hour or more, but I'd pray until the load would lift. Amen. The presence of the Lord would come in the midst, and the load would lift. Just me and Jesus in that prayer closet, or that place of prayer, that secret place of prayer, and I'd leave feeling blessed and refreshed. Amen. By the presence of the Lord. You know, I was praying about this meeting, and I come to this meeting with a burden, amen, for somebody that's in need of a refreshing. Somebody that's in need of a refreshing. I'd like to see some young person that's struggling with something get victory over it. I'd like to see some young adult that's dealing with depression get delivered from it. I'd like to see some young couple that's having a hard time experience a refreshing in their relationship. You see, in the presence of the Lord, all that can happen. Amen. I'd like to see, amen, some dear brother or sister that's having trouble getting over yesterday's failures and get such a blessing of refreshing from the Lord that they could put their past in the past, amen, once and for all and be done with it. We can't change yesterday. But the devil would sure like to bring it up and hinder our today, wouldn't he? Amen. But oh, if we can just get in the Lord's presence, not long till the past becomes past. And amen, today becomes good and the future gets brighter. Praise be to God. Amen. I'd love to see some precious saint that's been battling with the devil in their mind, amen, get a touch from the Lord. Hallelujah. And a refreshing from His presence that will lift them up out of their troubles, to where they could defeat and get victory over the enemy. Praise God. You know, and maybe I could say this last but not least. I'd like to see some sinner that's never known God, some prodigal that's went astray from God, amen, come plodding down those aisles one night under conviction and humble themselves at these altars and repent and pray through till a time of refreshing comes, so they could get up and say, I know my sins has been blotted out. Hallelujah. Thank God. How many remembers the day when you got saved? When the burden of sin rolled away from your heart. When the presence of the Lord came to you in conviction first. Amen. But then just didn't leave you in the darkness, but brought you to the light, where you could feel the Spirit of God and the touch of God came as you prayed through, and you knew right then and there that you're saved by grace. And your name was written down in heaven. Praise be to God. And the glory of the Lord had come into your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. I remember that night that I got saved. I was just 9 years old. So when you was just a young fellow, that's right. I'm not a young fellow now, but I was then. 9 years old, and the preacher preached, and conviction fell. And God dealt with me, and I walked down that aisle toward that altar. And while I was walking toward the altar, praying and asking God for mercy, before I ever made it to the altar, the glory came down. The Lord saved my soul. Wrote my name down. I'm telling you, it was refreshing. It was refreshing. course, another spiritual experience of refreshing I had was the night when the Lord filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was 16 years old. I'd been praying for like 3 years. I don't know why it took me so long, but I'd pray. It just seemed like up to a point and couldn't break through. And sometimes I'd get distracted by the people praying around me, slapping me on the back and pushing me back and forth and saying, say this, and some saying, hold on, some saying, let go, and whatever they were saying. But one night I was praying at the end of the piano at church back home by myself. And while I was praying, I just got to a certain point. I said, Lord, I believe it's for me. Amen. No more did that come out of my mouth. Amen. That the Lord slayed me in the spirit in the floor. I came to 30 minutes or so later speaking with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Praise God. It was a refreshing experience. But I'll tell you, I've had to go back for a refilling. Amen. Amen. How many's got a Cadillac? Anybody got a Cadillac here tonight? No Cadillacs. There's one back there in the back. Amen. Anybody got a Ford? There are several Fords. Now, I don't mean to put your Fords down, but Cadillac's quite a nice car. But whether you're driving a Cadillac or you're driving an old beat-up Ford, maybe you got a nice-looking Ford, but if you're driving an old beat-up Ford, I'll tell you, it doesn't make any difference. Both of you got to stop at the gas station after a while. Somebody's going to have to get a refueling. Doesn't matter if you're driving a Chevette or a Cadillac. You're going to have to stop somewhere and get a refilling. And no matter how long you serve the Lord, no matter who you are tonight, you're going to have to stop somewhere. You're going to have to go back to the altar. You're going to have to go back to the prayer closet. Amen. And find you a place to get prayed back through and get another dose of the Holy Ghost. Anybody say amen tonight? Y'all help this preacher preach as he's trying tonight. Amen. The book of Acts chapter number 3, I mean, it's a wonderful chapter. I love this chapter. Amen. But the verse that we read from, that one verse, verse number 19, is just a little excerpt from a message Peter preached to a group of Jews who were looking on them and upon a lame man after they knew that this man that had been born lame had been miraculously healed. Now, when you read back at the beginning of the chapter, you'll find where the Bible said Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. I'll tell you, anytime anybody's headed toward church, they're going up. Spiritually, they're moving in an upward direction. Y'all with me on that? Amen. They're moving upward, so they were headed toward the house of God, the house of prayer. Amen. They were headed upward. They were going up and they were going together. Thank God for unity. No better place for two men to go, amen, or two ladies to go, or a husband and wife to go, than to go the house of God together. Amen. Together to worship God or go at the hour of prayer. And these men went to the temple, up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for prayer. I love to pray. Amen. Some of my greatest blessings, as I've already expressed, has come in times of prayer. Praise God. Some of my best touches from heaven have come when I've been praying. Thank God. Some of my greatest victories have come when I've been praying. I want to encourage you, if there's something you've been praying about, keep praying about it. Keep praying about it. You just never know. It could be the night. Maybe you've been praying for a refreshing. Maybe you'll get it tonight. Maybe it'll be tomorrow night, but keep praying till it comes. Keep praying till it comes. Amen. The men of God were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. As they're approaching the temple, there's a man at the outside of the gate, just outside of the gate. He's a lame man. He goes there every day. He's brought there daily by others. He's laid at the gate. He cannot walk. He was born in that condition. Something wrong in his feet where he wasn't able to stand. Never took a step. A point where he ever stood. That was his condition. Lord, touch us tonight. Amen. And here Peter and John were going at the hour of prayer. And as they passed this man, or approached this man, he asked for alms of them. just like he does had done other people. And as he asked alms of them, amen, Peter and John looked at him, and then they said, look on us. Remember that? Look on us. They wanted his undivided attention. I just imagine he stuck his cup out or his hand out or his bag out. He looked at these men, then looked away. Amen. As he did, maybe an embarrassment or ashamed to be a beggar or whatever the case may have been. Peter and John said, look on us. Look at us now. Amen. It wasn't because they necessarily wanted him to see them, but they wanted to do something for him by the power of God. And so it was, amen, right here at this time. Amen. When Peter and John said this, the Bible said the man looked on them expecting to receive something. Our pastor used the word expecting a while ago, or expectancy. I caught on that in what he said. Amen. If we're going to get the refreshing we need to come to the house of God every night. We need to come intending to pray and come expecting for the Lord to meet us. And I believe where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. And I'm telling you, I am looking for the Lord to meet us. Amen. Around these altars, I'm looking for the power to fall while somebody is singing, while somebody is praying, while somebody steps out in obedience to the Lord to walk the aisle when he tells them to. Amen. And their refreshing is going to come when they obey God or when they seek God. And right here, amen, this man looked on them expecting to receive something. Now, of course, we understand he was looking for money, like most people. Now, don't tell me you don't look for money. Most of us like to have money. We need money, don't we? But there's something we need more than money. How many knows there's something better than silver and more precious than gold? Hallelujah. This man's fixing to find out about it. Peter looks right at him, says, silver and gold have I none. Amen. He answers him right off because he knows that's what the man is looking for. But he said, but in the same breath, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then the Bible said he took the man by the right hand and he lifted him up. Praise God. I love that when people are reaching out to lift up others. Amen. If that person's going to get the blessing of refreshing that they need, somebody needs to come along that's prayed through, prayed up. Amen. Ready to reach down and lift up that individual and help them get a start on their miracle. Amen. Or their blessing from the Lord. So as he began to lift him up, the Bible said immediately his ankle bones received strength. Now to me, this word immediately means simultaneously. The same time that he was reaching down and pulling up, the power of God fell because that man was expecting something. Amen. And as he did, the Spirit of the Lord touched him, and immediately when he felt what he had never felt before, he leaped up and stood. He had never stood, he had never jumped, and then he began to walk. I mean, God had turned his whole situation around. Praise be to God. God can turn somebody's situation around here tonight. Somebody that needs a refreshing, somebody that needs a blessing, somebody that needs a touch. It comes from the Lord. Amen. I mean, now really, you know, the man, the Bible said, I missed this little point here, meant to bring it out to you. Bible said he looked upon them expecting to receive something. But what I like about that is, amen, when he was looking up at them, hardly anybody gets anything that comes to the altar looking down. Now, I'm not talking about the sinner in humble repentance. Their head's bowed. They're ashamed. Amen. They're humbling their heart in contrition before the Lord. But we as the children of God, amen, looking up, expecting to receive something from the Lord, that's the way we get it. I'll tell you the best way to get the Holy Ghost, amen, is coming with your hands up and your head up, looking for the Lord to help. Well, I know I'm just country boy. I use country expressions, but I know them little birds that it gets in the nest in the springtime. When mama goes out and comes flying back, mama bird comes flying back, You see, every one of them's got their heads up and their mouths open. Amen. They're expecting something. I mean, it might be a worm, but they're expecting something. Amen. I don't know what it is that you've come expecting tonight, but if you come expecting something, I'll tell you this. I do believe that the Lord can exceed your expectation. And so it was with this man. Amen. He's expecting a coin, but he got a miracle. He got a miracle. God exceeded his expectation. He got a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. He got a touch from heaven. Now, usually we connect that refreshing with something spiritual, right? Amen. A spiritual touch. Well, I believe the man got a spiritual touch because when he leaps up to his feet, begins to walk around, Peter and John begins to walk into the temple. He follows them right in. Amen. He follows them right in. What's the Bible say he was doing? The Bible said he was walking and leaping and praising God. He's got a praise in his heart now. He's worshiping the Lord. Amen. Can you imagine what it was like in that temple that day? I've tried to picture that. Amen. All these quiet prayers going on around through the temple. Maybe a low rumble. Amen. In the temple, and it's an hour of prayer, and here this man comes busting through the back door with Peter and John. Excuse my expression, but I think that's kind of the way it happened. He come in, he said, "Glory to God, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord." And I imagine every head in the place turned. Every head in the place turned, see what's going on. Who's praising God? What's all this ruckus about? What's all this commotion about? Amen. It just him kind of reminded me of the way it should be in a Pentecost church. Hello. Come on now, folks. Way it ought to be in a Pentecost church. Hallelujah. When we come in, we ought to come in with our hands up worshiping God. I'm preaching it, me too. Amen. Worshiping the Lord, exalting Jesus. At the least inkling of anything going on, the Spirit of God moving, we ought to be worshiping and praising the Lord. Nonetheless, amen. They looked on. They saw the man. He's standing. They knew who it was. Hey, it's the man that was lame. Amen. But now he's standing. He never walked, but now he's walking and he's leaping. And oh, listen to the praise. I've never heard him do that before. Amen. Well, his life was in a low place before, but now he's in a high place. He is always looking up at everybody, but now he's looking out at everybody. There's something in his life that's different. He's totally changed. He's a brand new man. He's got a miracle. Not only that in his body, but he's got a miracle in his soul. Now, that's me saying that. The Bible didn't say that. Amen. But I believe he got a miracle in his soul. God never does a halfway job. Hallelujah, he's working in that man's life. Praise be to God. And all these people began to gather around Peter and John now and the man, because the man grabbed them, embraced them. Amen, which shows me as he held, the word is held unto them or embraced them, shows me that he had a spirit of gratitude and appreciation, amen, for these men bringing him to God. Amen. Bringing him to a place of victory and a miracle and deliverance. He appreciated that. You know, I'm sure Brother Ryan's experienced this as well. Been up maybe preaching and giving altar call and somebody come and pray. Amen. And seek the Lord's face and pray through. Maybe somebody that's never been in church before and they pray through and get saved. I've had them jump up from the altar and hug me right then and there. I mean, even women, you know, I don't go for that too much. But nonetheless, I mean, they don't know. Come on now. Did I lose y'all right there? Sorry. Amen. But I'll tell you, when they embraced him, these people began to connect it together. They seen there was a connection there, and they looked on them with amazement. Amen. Oh, that God would give us things in the church, hallelujah, experiences and things that take place where others look on in amazement at what God has done in our lives. They knew something spiritual and supernatural had happened. They knew somehow or another God had moved in their midst. Amen. And here's these two men, but Peter clears the air right off the bat. And he says, don't look at us. It's not by our power, our holiness, that this man stands here before you whole. Amen. But the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, amen, that God, it's by his son. I mean, he starts preaching Jesus to him. That one you killed, that one you crucified, that one you, amen, caused Pilate when he tried to release him and you wouldn't let him go. But you determined that he be killed and slain. And he was. And shame on you. And it's a sin what you've done. I mean, he's preaching it to him straight, brother, about sin. You know, when it comes to sin, you can't play with it. I mean, you got to call it out just for what it is. And that's what Peter done that day. He called it out for what it was. And the conviction failed. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you read in the book of Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 5, after Peter gets done preaching, amen, these people were touched by the power of God. The Bible said, and many of them that heard the word believed. Amen. I'm going to preach this to you. There was a time of refreshing that took place right there in Solomon's porch where they were gathered together at. A time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord came. And their lives was touched right there in that, in the midst. And 5,000, the Bible teaches us, amen, believed. Hallelujah. Now that's a refreshing. Now that's a revival. Now that's a move of God. Amen. But I'll tell you, whether it's one gets saved or 5,000 get saved, it takes God to save them. Amen. Whether one gets a miracle or 10 gets a miracle, it comes from God. Whether one gets baptized with the Holy Ghost or 15 gets baptized with the Holy Ghost, it'll be all glory to God tonight. Oh, God. And somebody lift up your hand and worship the Lord a little bit right now. Praise God. What a time of revival. What a time of refreshing. Praise God. Well, the Bible's filled with examples. And I could go into some, but maybe mention just a few. I was thinking about how in Acts chapter number 1, the disciples and the 120 were gathered together in the upper room. You know the story. Amen. They were praying, brother. They were praying with prayer and supplication. What were they praying for? They was praying for the promise, Brother Holcomb. They was praying for God to move. Amen. Jesus had told them to go tarry there, and they obeyed. How many knows he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him? They obeyed. They went, amen, to the upper room, and they tarried there in prayer and waiting and supplication, looking, 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 amen, for the promise of the Father. They didn't know when. They was there for 10 days. Now, they didn't know if it'd be 10 or if it'd be 20 or it'd be 100 or how many days they would have to pray. But they prayed for 10 days and sought God's face. And as they were seeking God's face, the Bible said in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven. Where did it come from? The presence of the Lord. Amen. The presence of refreshing was coming. The blessing was coming. Amen. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah spoke about that refreshing that would come with stammering lips and another tongue that would bring rest to the people, and here it was. Joel had prophesied about it and said, I will, thus saith the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In the last days he'd do that. Sons and daughters would prophesy. Old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. I mean, amen, the prophets of old foretold it, amen, but it was poured out on that day in the fulfillment of their prophecy. That's why Jesus himself called it the promise of the Father. It had been prophetically spoken and promised. It was going to come to pass. When God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Really, really, I feel it, folks, in my heart. As I was praying about this meeting, I believe God put it on my heart to encourage you. The refreshing's coming. The blessing's coming. If you look for it, amen. If you're ready to receive it, God's ready to give it. Amen. He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. He wants to refresh us. He doesn't want us to be down. He wants us to be up, not discouraged, but encouraged. Amen. He wants us to be helped. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Try to wrap this thing up here in a few minutes. Amen. The power came like a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared cloven tongues like as a fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Where did it come from? It came from heaven. Praise God. It didn't come from a back room somewhere with somebody teaching them what to say. It came from heaven. It came from heaven. I know this is old gospel to a lot of you. Amen. As far as knowing it. But I want to tell you this, the gospel never gets old, hallelujah, in the sense of it's always fresh in itself. But anyway, amen, as the power came down and they were filled, they began to filter out, and this is my imagination here, into the streets of the city. And people were gathering in. They know some supernatural phenomenon had taken place. Amen, the Jews had gathered in from all different nations all over. Amen, of different ethnic backgrounds and so on. And as they had gathered to see what was going on, they heard this great noise and what took place and come to see what's going on. And some begin to say, what's this mean? Because they heard different ones speaking in languages of the cities and countries that they had came from. Amen. And as they heard these things, what does this mean? And others mocking said, these men are just drunk with new wine. They're just babbling. That's all there is to it. Amen. But it was then Peter, moved by the Holy Ghost, stood up with the 11. I love that. I love that. Amen. They stood up. They had the power. They had the fire. They had the anointing. They had the touch. Oh, God. Give us the fire in this day. Give us the touch. Give us the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, praise be to God. As he stood up, he said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then in the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I mean, he began to preach to them. Before it was over with, he was preaching Jesus. Amen. His first message after Pentecost was a message of Christ and him crucified and the outflowing and outpouring of God's Spirit. And as he preached the message of Pentecost and repentance and the blood, 3,000 came to God. What a refreshing, what a blessing, what a time of an outpouring of God's Spirit. So in Acts 2, we got an outpouring, amen, of conviction and an outpouring of God's Spirit. And 3,000 get saved. And then Acts 3, Peter's second recorded message. Once again, he's preaching Jesus. Same results. People come to God and get saved. What is it that's going to take, amen, to get the results that we need in this last day? I'll tell you what it is. It's going to take, amen, the preaching of Christ and him crucified and the outpouring of God's Spirit upon the church and us being open to receive it and be obedient to proclaim it. How many agrees tonight? Hallelujah. Lord, give me strength tonight. Praise God. Praise God. As I was looking at this, I thought, amen, you know, there's times in all of our lives we need a refreshing. I mean, walk on through the book of Acts. You'll see different times here and there. Well, once again, God sent the blessing of refreshing. Amen. Acts 10 is one example of Cornelius' house. Acts 19 in another place. Amen. Oh, praise be to God. God wants to move in our midst. How many believes it tonight? Amen. Brother Holcomb, get ready to come here shortly, if you will, and help us with the altar service. This okay, brother? Praise be to God. Amen. I was thinking about, me and the wife was discussing a little bit the Bible and talking about different things. I was thinking about Elijah in the Old Testament and how he come to that place and point in his life. Amen. When Jezebel was on his trail. Jezebel's on the church's trail today, too, by the way. That's another one for another night. But nonetheless, amen, Elijah ran for his life, and he was weary. He was weary, and he got to that one place, you know, and he got under that tree and he just laid down. Let me die, Lord. Amen. He was discouraged. He was despondent. You ever been there? You ever been discouraged? You ever wondered if you had the strength to go another mile? You ever wonder what's going on, God, in my life? He never told us it'd be easy, friends, but I can guarantee you this, it'll be worth it. Amen. Amen. But nonetheless, Elijah laid down there and went to sleep. Next thing he knows, somebody's bumping on him. Wake up here. And he looks and there's a meal prepared. Why? He needed a refreshing, friend. He ate a little bit and he laid back down. He just still didn't have all that he needed. Sometimes you don't get it first time you go pray. Amen. It's first time you get that touch. It's not all you need, maybe. But nonetheless, amen, he slept a little more, and the angel once again, rise and eat, for the journey it's ahead of you is long. You got a long ways to go yet. You ain't done yet, Elijah. You ain't done yet. Oh, I come to tell somebody tonight, you ain't done yet. Devil's been telling you, I'm on your trail. Amen. Well, if he's on your trail, he's behind you, ain't he? He's behind you. Just tell him stay behind you. That's where he needs to be. I wish I could preach better to you tonight. I'm doing the best I can. Amen. But oh, praise be to God. Elijah, amen, wasn't long. He was refreshed, and he went on the strength of that meat for 40 days. That's a pretty good meal. You can't do that good at Longhorns. But that's a pretty good meal he got. Why? Because it was a spiritual meal. It fed his soul. It took care of his heart, his life. And he moved on. He goes to a mountain and he hears from God. He gets a word from God. He's refreshed again. Amen. But the wife and I was talking about Hagar and her situation. Amen. You know how that she had been given unto Abraham and it wasn't by her choice. Her mistress or Sarah gave her unto Abraham to have a child by, because Sarah couldn't bear children. You know the story. Amen. But what I want to bring out to you is this point here. Come a point that after her son was born, amen, then Sarah also had a child. Of course, there was strife there. There was contention there. And finally, there was family issues. And finally, Sarah just says, this woman and her boy's got to go. Amen. She's got to go. Hagar's got to go. And the thing was grievous to Abraham. He didn't like this. But the Lord told him, it'll be all right. Do what you got to do here. And there's a whole lot to it, but just go read the story. But what I want to bring you to is this point right here. Amen. When Abraham sent her away, sent her with some bread and a bottle of water. Amen. She goes into the wilderness with the child, just her and the boy. And all she's got's a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. And I'm sure you mothers can understand how she might feel. Here she is. She has nothing but a little. And when the water is spent, she takes the child and she goes and casts him under a bush, the Bible said. Am I right on this, brother? Cast him under a bush. Then she goes a bow shot away. And she sits down, lays down, she begins to weep and to cry. The boy's crying too. Mama's gone. I'm out here in the wilderness. What's going on? Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. What's going on? Amen. And then God speaks. God hears the lad, the Bible said. Oh, you're listening to me now. God hears the lad, and he speaks to Hagar, and he says, Hagar, what aileth thee? Don't you be afraid. I know exactly where you're at. And I'm going to take care of that boy. I'm going to take care of that boy. I'm going to make a nation out of him. Amen. Now, he didn't take the place of the promised seed, but he had a place. He had a place. God had a place for him. But you see, at this point, Hagar was hopeless. Hagar was helpless. And really, the situation she was in was not her fault. She didn't put herself there. Somebody else put her there. Somebody she loved. Somebody she had given herself to. But here she was in a bad place. And I felt in my spirit in this service tonight, amen, that somebody, amen, be just like her. You feel helpless. You feel hopeless. You wonder how in the world could this ever work out, and you don't see a way. But God sent this little preacher with a word. Sent this preacher with a word to tell you God's heard you. And he knows what's going on in your life. Praise be to God. And the Bible said after he spoke to her, he opened her eyes. And she saw it well. Now, I don't know if God put it there. It was there all the time. And she just didn't see it for the tears. But God opened her eyes so she could see it. And there's something God has just in sight. Just in sight for somebody here tonight. You haven't been able to see it. But oh, if you'll listen to the Lord, he's going to give you a promise. And he's going to open your eyes. And I'm going to tell you, she went and got water and she filled that bottle back up. She went back to that boy and put that bottle to his lips of water and she gave him a drink. And they went on from there. I'll tell you, you can go on from here if you get a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Stand with me. I preach my heart tonight. I preach my heart. Now, I don't know what it is that you come in here needing. But I dare say that probably everybody in some way or another needs something from God. Amen. But it may be that you come in saying, brother, I sure need a refreshing. I sure need a touch from God. Well, I'd like to encourage you without hesitation to make your way to the altar of prayer. Amen. Whether you be a young person or a middle-aged person, a married person or a single person or an elder person, amen, God's going to meet us in this meeting, folks, if we come expecting and we'll press in toward the altars and seek God's face, the victory's going to be there for us. So I'm inviting you to prayer tonight. If you got a need in your life, come bring it to Jesus. You need a refreshing touch from the Lord, step out of those seats and come. I know hardly nobody wants to be first, but I'll tell you, I'd rather be first than be last tonight. Amen. Step on out and come and seek the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're a backslider, come home to God. You're here tonight, a sinner, never been saved. I want you to know Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Amen. Just like he did mine, he's ready to save you just like he did me. And you'll get out of that seat and come to this altar. He'll change your life. If there's somebody hungry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this could be your night. Amen. Step out of that seat and come pray for a refreshing. Somebody just need a blessing from God. Oh, step out of that seat and come tonight. Praise God. I really feel like somebody needs to step out. You just need a touch of God. You just need a blessing from the Lord. Amen. You need to come to God. You want to come stand around these altars. Want to come and worship the Lord. Pour your heart out to him. Come on in, folks. Oh, as many as would. Let's come to seek the Lord. Let's not be in a hurry tonight. It's early. It's early. Let's take time to pray. Let's take time to seek God's face.